In the gospel today, we heard the continuation of the story of the multiplication of the bread, which was the gospel last Sunday. And we were given a context right on by Matthew as to what was happening in the story today. And it's important for us to pay attention to the fine details of the gospel, because it is in there that we will find the pearl, that message that God wants to convey to us. We were told that after the feeding of the 5,000, after a long pastoral work, after curing the sick, proclamation of the kingdom of God, and all of those great things that the disciples and Jesus did, they were exhausted. And Jesus said, "Guys, why don't you go ahead of me? I'll meet you on the other side. But I need to do a little bit of alone time, of solitude." The approach of Jesus here, right on, is really a good lesson to the disciples as they learn how to minister, how to do pastoral work. That at the end of the day, after a long and tiring pastoral work, they have to find themselves in communion with God, to find time for solitude, to find time for reflection, and to know, what are the things that I need to get better so that I get better and better in the proclamation of God's word, in my work for the kingdom? And it is really in there, it is really in our communion with God in solitude, that we recognize how God acted during the day. And because Christ was in communion with the Father, he realized right away the need of his disciples as well, what they were struggling at the moment. And we were told that as Jesus was praying up in the mountain, the disciples were being tossed about by waves. Tossed about by waves, for the wind was against it. We have to remember also the context of that time where Matthew, the evangelist, was writing his gospel. It was a time of great persecution in the church. And the boat in the scriptures always signifies the church. It is one of the most prominent images of the church. It is a boat. And being tossed refers also to the various persecutions that they were experiencing that time left and right. They were like that they found themselves in the middle of the sea, not knowing where to go. And it's interesting that Matthew was very specific as to what time of the day this happened. During the fourth watch of the night, the darkest time of the day. Reminiscent also probably of the darkest periods that the disciples were experiencing that time, the early Christians, when Matthew was writing this. And Matthew was practically telling them, just like what we experienced in the boat before with him, you guys should be okay. Because God, Jesus, will gonna be there to rescue you. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They thought that Jesus was a ghost. How many times we don't always recognize the redeeming love and rescue of God? That we thought that it is not God acting. God could not possibly intervene himself. We felt like we have it abandoned already, and now he's gonna be right here in the midst. I mean, in the middle of all of this, sometimes we don't recognize always the presence of God. I was sharing in my homily last night in the vigil that this reminds me of a story a few months ago. I went to anoint someone who was near death, and the family was surrounding him, and with them was probably like 5 or 6 year old grandchild. And he knew what was happening, that grandpa would not be with them for too long. And we were praying, and everybody were just beside themselves. Of course, they were grieving already. Their grief and sorrow was just too much, you know. It was very apparent that they really love him. And this grandson suddenly burst after I did the last rite. "Grandpa, are you afraid?" And the grandpa could still speak and said, "I am not afraid. I'm gonna see Jesus soon. I'm not afraid. I'm gonna see Jesus soon." All of us there, including myself, the only thing that we could see was the sorrow. The waves of sorrow. We were being tossed by different emotions right there. But the one who was dying, his concentration was the promise of eternal life that was promised to him in baptism. And really, it was initiated by an innocent young boy, pure of heart. It was like a proclamation of the gospel right there to all of us. And it's amazing when the dying person said that, we all just smiled. It was the proclamation. We were so overwhelmed with the sorrow, with sadness. But the one who was dying was already looking forward to meet his master, to meet the Lord. This is also what happened with Peter. You know, Peter at the beginning took baby steps, like, "Okay, I want to come to you." But he was so overwhelmed with the winds, and his concentration was no longer on Christ, but his concentration was already on the things that are happening around him. So that is why he started to sing. When we lose sight of the presence and the person of God, that's the time when we start sinking. I think I've shared this, I'm not sure if this at this Mass or in another Mass before. This reminds me also of a story of a young boy who flew for the first time. And there was this great turbulence. And everybody in the plane were panicking already. You know, there was like, there was huge turbulence. And they were like, "Oh my, we're gonna die right now." And this boy was just really kind of calm. And the person, after everything pacified and calmed down, the person seated right next to him asked him, "Have you been flying a lot? You're still a little boy. You were not afraid." You know, he was just continuing to play with his phone, or, you know, whatever it is that children, that kids do. And it's like, "Oh no, this is my first time. So why were you not afraid?" Everybody was like, it's just, can I use the word freaking out? Is it fine in English to use it? No. Okay, I don't want, this is recorded. But you were calm. And the boy said, "Yeah, I know that we were going to land safe. The dad is the pilot. I know we're going to land safe. My dad is the pilot." He was not bothered by the externalities happening around him because he knew who was driving the plane, if you can use that word. If we know who's driving our own lives, whatever is happening around us, whatever is happening around us, whatever kind of, it can be a tsunami, a hurricane, whatever is that strong wind or typhoon counterpart in your life right now, well, we are in this collective, you know, pandemic right now. We are being tossed in different directions. Seems overwhelming. It's like, where is God in all of this? Well, God is actually in there. Where is God in all of this? You know, sometimes we think of God acting in our lives in big and huge ways. You know, like the experience of Elijah. He thought that God would be in the wind, but God was not in the wind. He thought that God was in the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. He thought that God would be in the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But where was God? In a tiny whisper. You know, God does not always come to us rescuing us like a battalion, rescuing us from the outside, overwhelming. But sometimes, many times, He speaks to us in the tiny voice of our conscience, telling us, I am here. Telling us, you don't have to worry. We just always have to concentrate on the mission. I always say this, you know, to myself. Right now, you know, who knows? You know, how people are asking me, how can we sustain everything that we need to pay here at St. Cecilia with months and months of not having not regular masses? And I worry about that, but in the end of the day, I tell the Lord, it's your church. I just have to concentrate on the mission, and you're gonna take care of the other things. The mission, the discipleship that God is calling us, is really the most important thing. God does not rescue us, you know, overwhelmingly, but He speaks to us in a tiny voice, tiny whisper, like the experience of Elijah. We just have to listen. And it's amazing how the Lord reveals Himself to them when He said, take courage, it is I. Actually, it is a very poor translation in English. Actually, the original one in the Greek was, take courage, I am. Repeating to them the revelation of who God is in Moses, with Moses on Mount Sinai, when Moses asked, if people were gonna ask me who has sent me, what's your name? And God said, I am. It is the same word that uses use in the original language. Take courage, I am. And you know the tense of I am, always present, not changing. He did not say I was or I will. He says I am. I am always there, ever present. I've asked this before. I don't know if I asked this before here too. The other word that Jesus reinforced here after He said, take courage, I am, do not be afraid. That line, do not be afraid, how many times you think it appeared in the entire Bible? From the Old Testament to the New, that word, do not be afraid. It's all over the place. And one scholar actually studied that word and investigated how many times it appeared in the entire Bible. How many times, you think? Just a guess. Huh? 365, you heard, very good. Another guess? How many times you think? Just a random guess. There's a right answer. Okay, let's go with 365. Yes, 365 times. From the Old Testament to the New, one for each day of the year. 365 times, each day God is telling us, do not be afraid, take courage, I am. You see how cool and awesome our God is? That He will never abandon us? That He will always gonna be there? There is no greater or bigger tsunami that cannot be calmed down or overcome by God's presence. We just have to keep sight of Him. Take courage. I am.
do not be afraid.